Chapter 15. The Plan. I found a room for the night, but slept little. My mind danced between the mystery of the note and the horror of Estella's marriage. When morning finally came, I headed straight out to see Wemmick and discover what his note was hiding. I found Wemmick making breakfast for his aged parent. I helped with that as he talked in a low voice. He told me he heard that a certain person was missing in Australia, and being missing in Australia made certain people think that perhaps he was present in England. These very people now watched my rooms in hopes of finding this man.
"Who is looking for him?" I asked.
Wemmick would not say, and I knew this must somehow conflict with his job. I could see that he had stepped out quite a ways to tell me as much as he did. I did not want to make things more difficult, but I had a question I needed answered.
"Have you heard of Compeyson?"
I asked.
"Is he alive?"
Wemmick nodded.
"Is he in London?"
He gave me one more nod, then turned, and I knew my questioning was over. Wemmick would say no more about who might be after Provis. But he did tell me he and Herbert had discussed ways one might hide someone, should such a person ever need hiding. They had decided that Provis should move into rooms in the house where Herbert's fiancée tended her elderly father. That way, Herbert could look after Provis's needs and carry messages without suspicion, since Herbert spent so much time there anyway. The added benefit to the plan was that Clara's father lived right on the river, offering an easy escape. He looked at me directly then and said it might be best if we didn't try to escape immediately.
"There is no better place to hide than a great city once you are in it," he cautioned.
I agreed that this plan sounded best. Wemmick said he was glad I agreed, since the deed had already been done. I stayed at Wemmick's house until nightfall, then I left to check on Provis. I learned that everyone at the house thought Provis was named Campbell, and that he was associated with Herbert and not with me. This was my first meeting of Herbert's Clara. I knew she had thought me a poor companion for Herbert when he was in debt. Herbert assured me that her feelings had softened since he had found his calling at Clarriker's. She was a charming girl, tiny, with dark eyes. I thought she looked like a captive fairy tending a grumpy ogre who roared frequently from upstairs. I found her a perfect match for Herbert, and their love for one another was clear. After a pleasant visit with Clara, I climbed the stairs to see Provis. He seemed completely calm and content with the move.
"My coming here was an adventure, Pip," he said. "I'll enjoy it as such, whatever comes."
And so Provis was set in his new lodgings. Another plan was hatched where I would keep a boat on the river and be seen rowing for exercise. Then we might be unnoticed if we needed sudden escape in a boat. When I left, I was surprised at how heavy my heart was to leave Provis behind. My feelings for him had softened. He had risked much in order to see me. In the days ahead, I took up rowing as we'd planned. Soon no one took any notice of me as I rowed in good weather and bad. Sometimes Herbert came with me. Still, I could not shake off a building anxiety. Because I took no more money from Provis, my finances soon grew desperate. I sold jewelry to keep myself in food and lodging, but creditors pressed me for money. The sad turn in my finances could not compete with the constant worry that gnawed at me. One evening, after a long row on the river, I decided to find some light entertainment. I went to a shabby theater to watch a variety of short plays. Mr. Wopsle had become a London actor, and he appeared in several of the plays. From his acting, I wondered if it might have been better if he had stayed a church clerk. Still, it was pleasant to be reminded of the past. After the plays, I went backstage to visit.
"Hello, Pip," he cried and shook my hand. "I saw you in the audience. Who was that with you?"
"With me?" I felt a chill at the question.
"Ah, then you didn't know of the man," Wopsle said. "I wondered. He seemed so attached to you, almost like a ghost. Do you know whom he reminded me of?"
I could only shake my head, my throat thick with sudden fear.
"Do you remember the Christmas we dashed about the marshes looking for convicts?"
Wopsle asked.
"Remember when we found the men fighting?"
I nodded.
"This man reminded me of one of them," Wopsle said. "The one who was beaten. He looked so like him I would swear it was he."
The idea that Compeyson could be following me around made me still more afraid for Provis. Surely the time of greatest danger was near. From that moment, I made certain to row nowhere near the river house. I never turned so much as an eye in that direction.